Hello, I'm Mark Mallett. This is the Now Word for March 23rd, 2016. We're at the midpoint of Holy Week and day 37 of our Lenten retreat. Today we reflect on the ties that bind. If there are tethers that we must detach from our hearts, that is, worldly passions and inordinate desires, we most certainly want to be bound by the graces that God Himself has given for our salvation, namely the sacraments. One of the greatest crises of our times, brothers and sisters, is the collapse of belief and understanding in the seven sacraments, which the Catechism calls the masterworks of God. This is evident in parents who desire to have their children baptized but never attend Mass, in unwed couples who live together but want to be married in the church, in children who are confirmed but never step foot again in their parish. The sacraments in many places have been reduced to quaint ceremonies or rites of passage, as opposed to what they really are: the action of the Holy Spirit in the sanctification and salvation of those who participate in them in faith. I mean, really, it's a matter of life and death. There's an ancient saying in the church, lex orandi, lex credendi. Essentially, the church believes as she prays. Indeed, I think our lack of faith and hope in the sacraments is due in part because we no longer are praying from the heart. Well, in the life of the Christian, the sacraments are like the ropes that join a gondola basket to the balloon apparatus. They are the bonds of grace that really and truly bind our hearts to the supernatural life of God, enabling us to fly heavenward straight into heaven. Well, baptism is the frame from which the heart is suspended. You know, I marvel when I'm at a baptism, because it's at that moment that the merits of Christ's death and resurrection are applied to a soul. It's what Jesus suffered for, to sanctify and justify another person so as to make them worthy of eternal life. If our eyes could be opened to the spiritual realm, I'm certain we would not only see the angels bowed in adoration at that moment, but the company of saints praising and glorifying God. It's from this frame of baptism that the ropes of the other sacraments are tied. And here we come to understand the necessity and gift that the holy priesthood is. It says in the Catechism, the ordained minister is the sacramental bond that ties the liturgical actions to what the apostles said and did, and through them to the words and actions of Christ, the source and foundation of the sacraments. And so through the priest, Jesus Christ fastens these sacramental ropes to the hearts of individuals. And so I pray through this Lenten retreat that God will grant each of you a new hunger and thirst for the sacraments, for it's truly through them that we encounter Jesus, that powers come forth. I mean, in reconciliation, He listens to our sorrow and then absolves us of our sins. In the Eucharist, He literally touches and feeds us. In the anointing of the sick, He stretches forth His compassion and comforts and heals us in our suffering. In confirmation, He imparts to us His Spirit. And in holy orders and marriage, Jesus configures a man to His own eternal priesthood and configures a man and woman to the image of the Holy Trinity. Just as the ropes fastened to a balloon help keep it centered over the basket, so too do the sacraments keep us centered in God's will. In fact, the sacraments are that which strengthen and keep the heart open to receive the powerful flames of the Holy Spirit, that is, grace. Now, whenever we commit a venial sin, it's as though we sever some of the ropes that keep the heart in communion with God. The heart loses strength, and grace is weakened, but not entirely severed. On the other hand, to commit a mortal sin is to cut all ties and tear one's heart entirely from God's will, from the frame of baptism, and thus the propane burner of the Holy Spirit. Such a sad soul plummets to the earth as cold and spiritual death enter the heart. But thanks be to God, we have the sacrament of confession, which refastens the heart to God and to the graces of baptism, binding the soul again to the life of the Spirit. On day 9, I spoke about the power of the sacrament and the necessity to frequent it. I pray that you will grow to love this incredible fruit of the cross that heals, delivers, and refreshes the soul. Well, I want to conclude today with a few words on the Eucharist, who is Jesus himself. As Catholics, there's an urgent need to recover our love for Christ in the Holy Eucharist, to strengthen our ties to this indescribable sacrament. For unlike the other ropes that you could say run straight from the basket to the balloon, the golden bonds of the Eucharist wrap themselves around every other rope, thus strengthening every other sacrament. If you're battling to fulfill your baptismal vows, then increase your love and devotion of the Eucharist. If you're struggling to be faithful to your marital vows or priesthood, then turn to Jesus in the Eucharist. If the fires of confirmation have died down and the pilot light of your zeal is flickering, then run to the Eucharist, which is the Sacred Heart aflame with love for you. Whatever the sacrament, it will always be strengthened by the Eucharist. For the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, the risen Lord in personae. But what does it mean to turn to the Eucharist? Well, here I'm not suggesting that you undertake some great and burdensome devotion in order to stoke your love for the Blessed Sacrament. Rather, these 7 suggestions are small acts of love that can serve as kindling to stir into flame the fires of your love for Jesus. Number 1. Whenever you enter your church, as you bless yourself with holy water, turn toward the tabernacle and make a little bow. In this way, the first person you recognize in the sanctuary is the King of Kings. And then when you enter your pew again, fix your eyes on the tabernacle and make a reverent genuflection. And then when you leave the church, genuflect, and as you bless yourself one last time, turn and bow again to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Little gestures like these are like turning up the propane valve, helping to expand the heart more and more with love. Number 2. During Mass, stir your faith by little prayers. Jesus, make my heart ready to receive you. Jesus, I adore you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to us. How many Catholics receive Jesus today in communion, unaware that they are touching God? On receiving communion with a distracted and divided heart, Jesus said to St. Faustina, "If there is anyone else in such a heart, I cannot bear it, and quickly leave that heart, taking with me all the gifts and graces I have prepared for the soul. And the soul does not even notice my going. After some time, inner emptiness and dissatisfaction will come to the soul's attention." Okay, so number 3. When you go to receive Jesus, make a little bow as you approach the Eucharist, as you would if you approached a royal figure. Also, as a sign of profound respect, you could receive Jesus on the tongue. Number 4. Rather than the usual stampede for the exit, stay in your pew at the end of Mass. Sing the last few verses of praise to the Lord, and then spend a few minutes in thanksgiving that Jesus is really and truly physically present in you. Speak to him from the heart in your own words, or in a beautiful prayer such as Anima Christi. Beseech him for graces for the day or week ahead, but most of all, love him. Love and adore him present in you. If only you could see the reverence by which your guardian angel adores Jesus in you in those moments. Number 5. If possible, take 1 hour a week, even half an hour, and visit Jesus somewhere in the tabernacle of a church. You see, if you went outside once a week during lunchtime and sat facing the sun, you'd tan pretty quickly. Well, likewise, All you need to do is sit and gaze upon the face of the Son of God. As St. John Paul II said, the Eucharist is a priceless treasure. By not only celebrating it, but also by praying before it outside of Mass, we are enabled to make contact with the very wellspring of grace. Now, number six, when you can't go to Mass, you can make what's called a spiritual communion. And you can read more about that in my writing called Jesus is Here. And then number seven, whenever you drive by a Catholic church, make the sign of the cross and say a little prayer like, Jesus, bread of life, I adore you, or whatever's on your heart, as you pass by he who remains there as a prisoner of love in that little tabernacle. Well, these are small but profound ways, I think, that will help you to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, the renewal of how you see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Remember, as a soul on the narrow pilgrim road, the Eucharist is your food for the journey. And last, if the goal of prayer is to soar into the heavens of union with God, it is actualized through the Holy Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith. Unlike any other sacrament, said St. John Paul II, the mystery of communion is so perfect that it brings us to the heights of every good thing. Here is the ultimate goal of every human desire, because here we attain God, and God joins himself to us in the most perfect union. In summary, then, the sacraments of the Church are the holy ties that bind our hearts to the Holy Trinity, purifying, strengthening, and preparing our hearts for heaven. For Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst.